Again, aloha. Aloha. If you don't know who I am, my name is Eivor Bisondo. I'm the youth pastor here. But I just wanted to greet you in my lovely culture that I grew up in. Aloha kakaiaka. O Eivor ke ali'i o ke kai or bisondo ko'u inoa. I just said, good morning. My name is Eivor ke ali'i o ke kai or bisondo. And I wanted to just talk to you. I just wanted to talk story, fam. I just wanted to talk story, my ohana. Something about culture in the past. Knowing me, if I went back in the past and was born in the past, I probably wouldn't have been a rich person. I probably would have been one of those lows in that not so rich kind of group. Maybe a slave. Let's just be real. I probably would have been a slave. But they learned in such unique ways. And so I just want to talk story. I just want to chat, hang out with you guys. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 4 through 9. If you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. I have big Bibles for you. This is what I tell my students all the time. Don't worry, you don't have to grab your physical copy or your cell phone. You know how convenient that is nowadays. You can also just look up here. And it says here, and I'm reading out of the NLT. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. This is the verse that the Lord has given me. And therefore, I give it unto you guys. This is God's word. Today, I just wanted to talk story about this verse and about our lives. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like more peace in your life? Oh, amen. Yeah, I got one. Just one person want that. Aloha to everyone else that already has peace. Yeah. From my experience on earth, I have noticed that there is pain, suffering, heartache, difficulties, and it's like these Legos. Well, that's going to be painful. I don't know about you, if you ever had children and you buy them Legos, it's such a great idea until you step on them. And then you're trying to teach them the whole time, put it away. From my experience on this earth, I noticed that there is pain, heartache, stress, difficulties that cannot be avoided. They can't. And how I choose to handle those difficulties in my life are shaped by my worldview, how I see things, what I have learned, what I have experienced. But pain will always be around like these Legos. I mean, we can sell it, throw it away, but it's still going to be at the stores. Kids are still going to want it. And so, just like these Legos, they will be around. It is like this. So, as a youth pastor, I like to use examples. And so I brought a awesome youth. Can you guys give it up for Aiden? Some of you guys already understand what's going to happen. So in my life, I can try to avoid, minimize, or even bury my hardships, my difficulties, my pains of life, but sooner or later, it will resurface. Sooner or later, it will come out. Sooner or later, it will be bigger, it will be stronger, it will be around. And you know what? We're going to either have to battle it, go through it, understand how to do it. We're going to have to deal with it. Just like right here, Aiden is going to, you know what? Some people like to do it this way. Tippy-toe and try and tippy-toe through their pain and suffering. All right, Aiden, good luck, man.
Lord, help me.
Oh, look at that. Oh, I feel you, man. Ooh. Oh, way. Oh, that one got him. Yeah, give it up. Give it up. Hey, if you want to rub your feet, you go, I understand, man. Yeah. That's why I put two chairs on both sides. Now, some people like to go, I'm strong. You know what? Forget it. Just bulldoze through that sucker. Oh, yeah. Oh, I felt that, man. Ow. Hey, that's why you have chair on the other side, bro. God bless for teenagers, yeah. Don't worry, you do have a gift after the end of this. And then you have some people that, sorry, Aiden, you're going through it again. Feel it. I want you guys to feel this. Some people try and strategically do this. And so what he's going to do is move some Legos away from with his feet. He can use his feet. Yeah, 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 look at that. Strategically try and get through pain. But as you can recognize this, fam, he still has to go through it. As much as you dust it away, as much as you try and push and ignore it, it's still going to be around you. It will not leave you. You're going to have to walk through it. As you can see, Aiden just went through all of that. God bless him. But I can try and avoid, minimize, or even bury my hardships and pain, difficulties of life. But sooner or later, it will resurface. It will either get bigger. It will be unavoidable. Just like I can try to tippy-toe or even gently walk or bulldoze through or even strategically maneuver myself through pain, it will sooner or later hurt. It will get me. John Powell, I don't know if you guys ever know, if you guys know who this is, John Powell, he's a famous English composer, but he says this, pain is a teacher from whom we can learn much. Pain. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I understand that. I know that. But I think there is another way. I think there's another way. Luke 7, verse 35 says this, but wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. How does one find wisdom? So Aiden, I'm going to let you go again. But this time you get to choose what you want to do. Strategic, tippy-toe, or bust right through and just get it done with. Let me get over it. Oh, he's going to sprint it. I got to get down for this. You guys got to see this. Bang. Woo! Oh, wait. Yeah, give it. So I'm living out what I saw, what I heard, what I perceived in life. As we know, there are many different ways to learn. There is visual, auditory, and kinesthetics. You can learn in those three ways: seeing, hearing, doing. We can learn. Yes, all those teachers out there. There is many other ways, I know, but in the ancient sense, this is what we got. We saw people. We heard what we had to do, and then we went to go do it. You might have learned better in one area than other people, or you may be good at all of it, you lucky person. We as human beings learn best in one or all of those methods. We mimic and learn from others, knowingly or unknowingly, copying the product of our time, copying and learning the lessons of our family, our community, and our culture. We learn, we mimic, we do. We knowingly or unknowingly live out what we stored up into our lives. What we allow into our hearts is what's going to come out into the world. For example, I know you guys are Clint Eastwood fans, or at least my father-in-law is. But here's a quote from Clint Eastwood. What you put into your life is what you get out of it. What you put in is what you get out. When tough times happen and pressure starts to push into your life, how you express that is what lives inside of you. That is what comes out. Matthew 15, verse 18 through 20 says, "But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. But it is your thoughts, your words, your actions that hurt us and can break bridges of relationships first with God, then with our ohana, then with each other. What comes out of us when tough times happens? What comes out of us when through words and actions and thoughts affect us? Dr. Timothy Keller, God bless him, he went to be with the Lord, if you did not know. He's a great, he was a good, in my opinion, he helped me a lot throughout my life, reading his books, hearing his testimony through podcasts. I never met him physically, but his sermons and his preaching and his teaching through the Word of God and through Bibles, I thought he was a really great teacher, good teacher of the Word of God, but he passed away recently, if you did not know. But he says this: the human heart is an idol factory that takes good things like successful career, love, material possessions, even family, and turns them into ultimate things. Our hearts defy them as the center of our lives. Because we think they can give us significance and security, safety, and fulfillment if we attain them. Oh, I cut off the stuff on my own. Yeah, if we obtain them, sorry. If we obtain them. Because humanity is so prone to sin and the cycle of sin is so rampant, evident in culture and society, in each generation, no wonder why it is so easy for humanity, for us, to get distracted and addicted to the worries of this life. No wonder it is so easy and so difficult for people to get into or even to get out of addiction, pain, or suffering. That is what we are taught, passed on, given as legacy, given as dreams to pursue, a life to live. We put it into our DNA, our identity, our consciously or unconsciously, because this is what we have learned. This is what has been passed down in our culture, in our life, in our place. Consciously or unconsciously, we do things that may not glorify God. Because this is what we have learned, this is what we've been passing on. If there is no God, then what is the point? Does it matter if there is no God? But if there is a God, whew, you better be hoping you're praying and worshiping the right God, because let's just be real, there's a lot of religions out there. If only there was another way of living. Fam, if only there was another way to live. Matthew 7, verse 13 through 14 says this: you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide. For the many who choose, God does not send anyone to hell. It's who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. If only there is a life that produces peace through hardships, pain, and sorrow through life, where can we walk through life without feeling like we have to walk on eggshells? Is there a way? Can we find that? Is there actually a lifestyle that has that action purpose? Where can we find this true freedom? Hey, guess what? Pastor, what is Pastor Mike saying? I got good news, fam. I got good news, Ohana. Check this out. John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It is because of Jesus that we learned that there is another way to live. There is another way. People, there's another way. We don't have to walk barefoot. There's another way. Oh my goodness. Did you know that? That there's another way to live. Another way. It is because of Jesus that we learned that there is another way to live, another way that is different, but yet satisfying, difficult, but yet peaceful. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Through the Great Commission seen by Matthew 28, we see God wanting to partner. Say partner, fam. Partner. He wants to partner with us. It's funny because sometimes we come to church and we're like, we pay that pastor. He needs to do everything. Ah, that youth pastor needs to... Hey, can you go tell my son to go to youth group? What? I never even met your son. It's like a teacher coming up to them and saying, you need to go play sports. It's like a coach coming up and saying, you need to go to class. It is because of Jesus that there's a new way. Through the Great Commission, by Matthew 28, we see God wanting to partner with his creation about God's great news, that there is a different way of life. The good news is God wants to partner with us, have a relationship with us, be evidence of this new life. So Josh, I have another, he helps me out in my youth ministry. Josh, come out there, yep, flex your muscles, show it off. I want you guys to notice something, though. What's different between Aiden and Josh besides AIDS? Age, not AIDS. Age. Okay, now, Josh, please walk through it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at that. For people on this side of the fence, yeah. Oh, look at that. He's walking backwards into it. He's jumping on it. Oh my goodness. Yeah, give him a clap. And so this is the section where we're going to be jumping into what we just read in the beginning. And it says in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Philippians 4:6. And it reveals this new life, which allows us to have confidence in our prayers, fam. Confidence that when we as a believer goes to Jesus, when we put our heads down, when we start to pray, when a believer prays, that it doesn't not fall on deaf ears. We can pray with confidence that our God hears our prayers. He hears us. But it is heard by a living and real and active God, that believers can come to him in confidence and have the opportunity to ask, because a believer has a relationship that comes with understanding that his or her God will listen and consider their request. Not listen and just answer it. Who goes to a judge and asks them something and they go, yeah, just have it, without that person considering what are they asking? But just like a judge, you have to jump through all these hoops just to get to the judge. As for our God, if you are a believer, you can go directly to him. There is a difference. How do I know that? Because I chased. I experienced it. I learned when at a young age, I thought I had to be perfect. I thought I had to go to Jerusalem. I thought I had to be on that mountaintop experience just for God to hear me. And then I realized, no. No, this is why when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn. It was torn so that we as human beings can go directly to our Father and say, Dad, whew, I need help today. Papa, I'm feeling depressed today. This is what it means. What a blessing that our Heavenly Father would consider a believer's request, would take the time to listen to our request. Therefore, one should thank him. We forget after we pray, thank him. Thank him for whatever is going on, whatever you're asking, just thank him. Just like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If God answers our prayers and saves us, praise the Lord. But if we die in the fire, praise the Lord. Therefore, one should thank him for such an opportunity, that we don't need to be such crazy steps like travel to Jerusalem. Because let's just be real. I don't got that money. I mean, how many of you can just pack up and go to Jerusalem? No. I mean, some of you, I know some of you. Maybe you retired people. But it's really hard for a working family, a low-class family, to just pick up and go. We don't have to pray in a temple. Well, what do you mean? You don't have to just come to church and pray to our God. You can do that anywhere. Or a certain mountain, or a certain place for him to hear your requests. We don't need to be clean or perfect for him to hear our prayers or to come to his presence. Philippians 4:7, it goes on and it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This peace that passes all understanding only comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who gives you the sandals or shoes of peace. He is the one who gives the believer the armor of God. He's the person that issues the armor. He's the one that can give you the armor. He's the one that will give you the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, that shield of faith, that sword of the Spirit, that belt of truth, and the sandals of peace. You cannot get it from anyone else. You cannot. It is issued by our God. It is given by our God, who is the Holy Spirit. He is the distributor. He is the one who fits you with the right attire, with the right armor, right outfit, the right gear. He is the one who will guard you. He is the one who will protect you as you pursue Him. This peace can only come from God, from Jesus, from our Heavenly Father, from the Holy Spirit, the Triune God. So at this moment, Josh, I want you to start to wash Aiden's feet. Wash his feet. Yeah, get down and dirty. Get down and dirty. Philippians 4:8, it says this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. But how does one keep a line of communication with God open? By renewing your mind. By recognizing that, hey, I can go to my Father when tough times are happening. I don't have to go to my best friend and say, man, you should have known what that person told me. Let me just spell it out for you. I walked into work and they yelled at me. And it hurt me because they said some hurtful things. But what the Heavenly Father is saying, come to me. Come to me. Pray. Or it could be this. Man, I wasn't able to pay that student loan. Instead of going to a friend and saying, man, I don't know what to do. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Going straight to the Father first. Papa, I don't know what to do today. I don't know what I'm going to do. Going to the Father first. But how does one keep a line of communication? By renewing our minds. The Bible reveals to all who read it the tendencies of the human heart, which are actions to go back to the junk and the addictions. But when a person transformed and become born again, receiving the testimony of Jesus, being baptized and accepting the Holy Spirit into their life, they are made new life, begins new desires, new wants. A heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh, and conception begins by transformation of the mind. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So Josh, I want you to grab that sandals and put it in front of Aiden. Just put it in front. That's a father for you guys. Now, Josh, can you walk up over here? I want you guys to see something. Now, Josh, I want you to turn to Aiden and call him out. Now, Aiden, before you even walk in there, I want you to look at his shoes. Look at it. And look at your feet. What are you missing? Now, do you have any sandals that are right by you? Philippians 4:9 says this, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this. If you don't know who that is a German Lutheran pastor, theologian, and anti-Nazi dissident. He says, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Asking God into your life, free. Doesn't require you to do anything, but to follow Jesus will cost you your life. It will cost you your desires. It will cost you your livelihood. It will cost you everything. Everything. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. Ohana, salvation, again, is free. It doesn't cost you a thing, but salvation makes you right with God. Salvation gives you a good standing with God. But discipleship, following Jesus, identifying as a follower of Jesus, come, come on, let's not play. Let's not joke around about this. Following Jesus will cost you your life, your identity, your dreams. Let me just ask you, do you really think this is what I wanted to do when I was a kid? Do you really think that this is what Abel wanted to do? A kid that grew up in Hawaii. A kid that went through special ed. A kid that did not want to speak in front of the class. A kid that didn't even want to write papers. A kid that tried to avoid papers. A kid that decided to take French class. And when the teacher told us to learn how to say, to go to the bathroom, all I could say was, je ne sais pas. And the teacher laughed and said, go to the bathroom, Abel, go. Keep putting into practice. But discipleship, following Jesus, identifying as a follower of Jesus, comes on. Dr. Timothy Keller says this, discipleship is not an option. Jesus says that if anyone would come after me, he must follow me. He must follow me. Not me, but him. Follow him. Fam, this is why verse 9 says put into practice. Put into practice. Why is that important? Why do people need to see these beliefs become realities? Matthew 5:15 says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Again, we learn by visual, auditory, kinesthetics. If you don't know what that means, seeing, hearing, doing. Doing. The people around us need to see the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Aiden, Josh, can you guys show again of like walking? Walking through it. Because there's something about when an older adult or an older Christian or a believer starts to teach the people of the past how to actually do this. Let me just tell you right now, if you're expecting the youth pastor to teach all of this, this is one person. Ohana. Oh, sorry, Paige. You play that music. Can you guys come back, stand right here? Just keep going, Paige. I love music anyways. Stay right there. Can you actually go on that side, Josh? Right there. Stab right there. But this is what discipleship looks like. I'm not saying Josh is Jesus in this scenario. I'm saying that's him. Aiden, another human being. But just like this, he's showing him how to walk through pain and suffering. Sharing his testimony. Doing it so that AD can see it, that AD can hear it, that AD can happen it, do it too, but Aiden is able to walk with him through it. And this is what happens when you start to do discipleship with Jesus. He starts to show you something, and then you're going to lead it. You're going to do it. And then just so happens, something happens. Noah, can you come out? Watch his body language. Where is Noah looking? When you teach somebody else how to do it, they're going to show somebody else how to do it. This is a way of life. This is my main point for today. This is a way of life. This is a way of life. If you are a brand new Christian in this house, this is a way of life. If you are not a believer in this house, let me just tell you right now, we believers, this is a way of life. This is a way of life. There is no different way. There's only two ways. The way that the world has been showing us over and over and over. It doesn't matter what generation you live in. It doesn't matter what internet or technology that you have. This, nothing has changed. They teach the same thing over. People get into addiction. People get broken. Families get broken down. And then it cycles again. Until there is a new way that is shown and spoken and brought up to that someone can hear the gospel and find out that there's something new. That their life can be changed by this one thing. When my dad said yes to Jesus, it changed the trajectory of the Orbistondo family. I thank my dad that he said yes to Jesus because it transformed my life. Because if I know, like I know for a fact, if he did not say yes to Jesus, I would have stayed the same. I would have got trapped in addictions. I would have been trapped in fornication. I would have been trapped in my sins, thinking that there is no way out, and then depression would hit me. Do you think that your family is the only family that fights these things? And let me just tell you right now that our God is so good that he came into this world as a human being, died on the cross, experienced gruesome pain, suffering, rejection, so that we in 2023 will know that there is another way in life. In this example, we saw and heard many things. We saw Aiden trying to figure out how to walk through pain. We saw Aiden get a mentor who revealed another way to live through pain in life. We saw Aiden wanting to something and allowing their mentor to serve him. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to let somebody to wash your feet, to submit under to someone, especially God. We saw Aiden make a decision and put on the shoes. Recognize, Josh didn't put the shoes on him. Did you see Josh put the shoes on him? No. Aiden had to make a choice to put that on. Just like you have to make a choice when you wake up. I will follow Jesus. It is a lifestyle. We see Aiden see another person come out. And he recognized, oh, he was going to do the same thing that I did. Instead of letting him walk right through, he showed him a different way. And again, that person got to choose. Do I want to do that or not? As you can see, he chose yes. Where are you in this lineup? Who are you in this lineup? In this example you just saw, who are you? Are you the mentor? Are you the person that went through the pain? Or are you the one just starting off? Where are you in that scenario? Are you the one mentoring, going the extra mile, pointing to Jesus for others to find peace? Remember, Josh didn't put the sandals on, but he gave an opportunity to. Shared the gospel to. Because only the Holy Spirit can give it. And then you, as a person, receive it. Who are you in the illustration? Imagine if you became a mentor. Imagine you being an ambassador. What would that look like in your life? Who would that change? Who would it affect? Would it start with a young boy or a young girl or a young mother? When you show the love of Jesus to someone and not just say, well, I'll be praying for you. But getting down dirty, inviting them over to eat, hanging out, coming over, having them come to church. Some of you family are doing that. And you know what? Good job. Keep going. You're doing great. And then there's some that are just sitting down and just going, yeah, I'm good. I got my salvation. I got my things. I'm fine. And you know what? Cool. But remember what Timothy Keller said. Discipleship is not an option. It's not an option. Jesus says that if anyone would come after me, he must follow me. This is no different if you're a young child or an old adult. It does not change anything. We follow our King. So we have an opportunity to partner with Christ, to make a difference in the world around us. Recognize this. We have men's group, women's group. We just started Koinonia groups. We have youth group. We have children's group. We just started a young adults group. If you're a young adults here, I want you to know that we have a young adults group. We are going to Topgolf this Monday. So if you're available, come talk to me. It does cost, because we're not a mega church or something. It will cost. But I encourage you to come out. Get plugged in. Get invested in this way. Why? Because fellowship, staying together, being together, iron sharpening iron, it matters. We have these different event, different groups that you can go into. We have, if that's not your thing, we have serving as an usher, soundboard, worship. We have greeting people that greet at the front door. We have people that can serve in the youth ministries or in the children's ministries. There is areas where you can plug in. Maybe that's not your thing, but sometimes getting out and starting to sharpen, testing, interacting, working. Some of you guys are doing that. And you know what I want to say? Thank you. Mahalo for putting in the work, for investing your time. Because we need people that will talk and speak to our generations. Because there's still people in your own generation that has not heard the gospel. There's people in your own generation that are still walking in pain without recognizing you can have peace in it. There is people in your life that is still trying to walk and do this by strength. God has given us all people in our life for a reason. Therefore, let's accept God's way, which brings peace. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing. Papa, we thank you that you are a good, good Father, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And at this time, I just, with all heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to give an opportunity. And if you heard this sermon and you're like, Abel, I want that. I want this interaction with God. Let me just tell you that again, salvation is free. This is what this prayer is praying. Salvation is free. If you want Jesus into your life, it starts off by praying this prayer, accepting Christ into your life, and allowing the Holy Spirit to infiltrate your life. Does it hurt? Yes, sometimes. Does it affect your life? Yes, all the time. Does God start to speak through you if you want to listen? Yes, and sometimes it's super difficult. But let me just tell you right now, it is so worth it. It is so, so worth it. So if you want this, if you never asked Jesus into your life, I want you to be brave at this moment and raise your hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. All right, Ohana. If you all can stand up, grab a brother or a sister's hand beside you. And we're going to pray this prayer. And you brothers and sisters who have prayed this prayer before, I want you to pray with confidence that our Heavenly Father hears our prayers. And these brothers and sisters who did raise their hands up, that we will have confidence that the Lord our God will do what He needs to do in their life. And so, Ohana, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for coming into this world, for dying on the cross, for rising again and ascending into heaven. We thank you for thinking of me, for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you for washing me clean and transforming my heart. Jesus, come into my life, renew my world, and transform me to a follower of Christ. And write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless. Have a great day. Also, I totally forgot to do announcements and offering. I love you, Pastor Mike. If you have offerings, you can put it in the back. Or you can fill out do the screen and do it online. It's the safest way. Also, if you are a senior, we want to honor you. Make sure you sign up on the Honor the Grads. If you have a grandchild that you want to honor on the slideshow, please sign up on Honor the Grads so that we will not miss any of your graduates here or there or anywhere. All right. God bless. Huh? Oh, yeah. What's up, Daphne?